This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Sharit Abdullah and Wong Shaning. It is Wednesday, the 18th of September, and on a normal week, it would be already a midway through the week, but actually, we're only 2 days in because of our public holiday. How has the week been treating you guys?
Not too bad. It's good. It's been good for me. I've been enjoying that long, all the long weekends we've had over the month.
I am such a believer on the four-day week. I think we should permanently only work 4 days a week, guys.
I think this is a good test, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, like a good case
perfect.
Study.
Just we had gauge. 3 consecutive weeks of just 4 days is bliss. This should be the new working week for everybody.
You should definitely let the HR ministry know,
yes.
And I'm sure they'll take that into consideration. Wong Shaning's opinion trumps all.
I'm sure a lot of people would agree with me. Who doesn't want a longer weekend?
That's true. But what's spoiling it is the haze, isn't it?
Yes, the haze is really a bit of a downer at the moment. It's over the past couple of days, it's gotten worse as well. We get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to come to work, and ordinarily that's before the haze sets in, or it has been the case over the past month. But recently when I drive into work, it's like you can practically see the film of the haze sitting over the street lamps. It's not a very uplifting way to start a morning.
No, that's why so many schools still remain closed.
Yep. The silver lining was that when I went away for my staycation, we basically enjoyed fully our time inside the hotel. So it's good.
Yeah, that's true.
You pay so much money, you might as well just stay in there and not go out.
That's true.
Maximize
your value.
All right. Well, lots of things also on the agenda for you this morning. So what are we going to be talking about today?
All right. So do you do enough cuti cuti Malaysia? I'm a big fan of that. I like to go around, around Malaysia sometimes in Nepal.
Yeah, you were just talking about a staycation as well.
Yeah, that's right. So KTM, they've introduced a business class sort of ride to, several places in Kuala Lumpur. So whether that would entice you to travel more within Malaysia, tell us.
And then, when you can't solve a problem, who do you call? Now, don't say Ghostbusters. Although I have to say, I was just dying to say that. But honestly, the solution may be closer to home than you really think.
All right. And we are also going to be talking about silliness and its importance in the workplace. So don't forget, if you want to weigh in on those conversations, you can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Right now, though, we have a song for you by ZZ Top. Here's Gimme All Your Lovin', BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was I'm on Fire by Bruce Springsteen, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Sharit and Shaning. Now, we talk a lot about workplace stress and how to manage it, all the methods to maybe make you less stressed, lighten your workload a little bit. But there's this interesting article in Fast Company today, which suggests that really, the antidote to workplace stress is silliness.
Yeah.
It's the ability, I guess, to laugh at yourself and each other. And it also suggests that this is partly the responsibility of the team leader in order to inject this into a team. Because, when you are part of a team, of a small team even, of 8 people, and then your manager walks into the room, black, with a black face, really stressed and really stern, everyone's mood just drops, and then you kind of all creep around like mice because you're afraid of putting a foot wrong.
Exactly. Suddenly everybody's like super duper quiet, right? And then you can see all the eyes like looking at each other and like, oh, they better keep quiet, guys.
Yeah, that's
no
fun.
The boss is not happy. You can almost feel the tension in the air.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely enjoy a boss that is, very open to the idea of, just someone else cracking a joke. Because sometimes you're just not born that, you're just not that funny as a person, right?
Are you saying our bosses aren't funny?
No, I didn't say it. I'm not pointing fingers to anyone. I can self-proclaim that I'm not that funny as a guy. But, don't ask me why.
No, you would probably disagree.
Oh, yeah, you do?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's good to know. But anyway, if you do want to know, we'll probably have to go through like a 2-year-long therapy to find out why.
Why what? That you're not funny?
Yeah,
that you are funny,
right? Okay, right. That's fine.
I just said you are funny.
Okay, well, yeah, I do. I mean, and I'm glad that I think in our bunch of, in our group, I mean, there's always one of those who's always able to crack a joke. And to say, a team leader, that they play a role. At least if they can't crack a joke, you know, you would allow the facilitation of jokes to sort of just roam around in the conversation. It's great.
Yeah, because imagine if you have, say, one jokester in the team and he's cracking jokes and lighting the mood for everyone else, and then the boss cuts in and it's like, ooh, okay, well, that's the end of that, really.
Like when they say it's not funny, it's like, oh, come on.
Yeah, you need a boss, maybe, hopefully, that has a sense of humor. And if he or she doesn't, at least fosters the environment whereby it's fine to crack jokes. It's actually encourage. I mean, think about it. The practical reasons are that if your boss is the kind that is easygoing, that knows how to laugh at himself or herself and at other people, I think the colleagues are then braver in terms of speaking their mind. Because, you know, if you are in a scary office, right, and you have an idea, something that's good for the organization, good for the company, you're like, I did not say that. After kena scolding, you know, the boss give me one look, tell me to shut up, don't be stupid, make all these kind of comments. Then you're fearful, right?
You're so funny.
I am. I like to think I am funny, okay? But it's true, right? I mean, you then, better not say that. After kena scolding, just keep quiet. Then, there are no fresh ideas, no new solutions. Everybody just does things the same way. So there's, to me, definitely when you have this office where people are happy to make crack jokes, happy to laugh at themselves, it's a better environment for everybody.
But it's also happy to laugh together and laugh with each other rather than at someone, right?
Yeah. And you must learn to laugh at yourself.
Absolutely.
That's number one.
Yeah, so when you have a boss that's able to laugh at himself and you can share a laugh over something maybe one of you has done wrong and is like, oops, you know, made a mistake. Well, you know, too bad. We'll have to do that again. It means that mistakes aren't the end of the world.
Sure.
So if you come to them with an idea or with an alternative solution, even if it's not taken up or even if it doesn't fit within what the manager has in mind, there's no punishment involved, right? Mm. Not even of the implicit kind that's someone laughing behind your back. So at the end of the day, I do think that fostering this kind of environment will be good for the overall mental health of your team, really.
Absolutely. But I think if we look at the article, there's always some form of limit, right? I mean, so it did highlight that there is need to sometimes just gauge the temperature of the room. Occasionally, yeah, you do have to go through some serious moments at work and, you know, sometimes stress creeps in, and it's good to just cushion that and being able to gauge that. And I think, again, that's when bosses play that role. Sometimes it's just good to just be able to respect some space when you just can't laugh all the time, I guess.
Well, do let us know what you think. Are you comfortable being silly at work? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a few messages coming up for you, and then we'll be talking about collisions and how they've replaced big brains. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Fly Away by Lenny Kravitz, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Shanning and Sharitz. Now, just now we were talking about idea generation and maybe the place that silliness plays in fostering an environment where people are actually confident enough to put out their ideas. But now let's actually talk about the idea generation itself, because there's this article in Forbes that suggests that collisions are the new best way to really generate ideas. So it used to be that we would, you know, go to the expert, the one big brain that has all the solutions. But that's no longer necessarily the case. Now a lot of problem solving goes to the team, and collisions could be a more effective way to do that within the team.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think sometimes when that whole idea of going to someone to an expert, sometimes the solutions are actually closer to home, isn't it? It's amongst your team, because they're much closer to the work that you do.
Might be within you, actually.
Exactly. Could be within me. But it's just that the problem is that a lot of the times we're quite reserved. Like you said, I mean, previously we were talking about silliness at work. It's just that openness, and we don't. And some people, they feel threatened, you know, with new ideas that come into play. So they don't share. They just don't collaborate as much. So this is what this collision is all about.
I don't know. It's some, right? To me, it's like some new name for what you call, you know, which is something we've been doing for most of our working life, right? I mean, is it a fancy new name for just team problem solving, guys?
Yeah.
I think it's a subset of it because team problem solving can encompass a lot of things. Team problem solving can be throwing post-its at a wall and to see what sticks kind of situations. But collisions are more of a very direct approach to addressing a problem, figuring out a solution. And I guess the important thing with this kind of discussion is that you have to be open to generating new ideas and having some ideas just not pan out, and be very open to discussing pros and cons and what are the difficulties and what are the opportunities, because a lot of the times people are very polite. You know,
yes.
You
walk
especially in Asian cultures. You walk, you know, you all sit down in a meeting room and you've got, okay, we have to solve problem A. So does anyone have any ideas? One person raises their hand. Oh, why don't we do this? Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. And everyone else doesn't think it's a good idea. But you spend 20 minutes talking about it anyway because you feel that it's owed to the idea.
Safe face, Asian mentality, yeah. Right? That's what we like to do.
Well, I think that's when, one of the things I find fascinating about this article is the establishment of roles, because sometimes we identify ourselves with what with our minds, and sometimes we can actually do beyond that. So over here it states like three sort of roles: members and a critique as well as an observer, if I'm not mistaken. And so it's when you put that hat, and for some reason you're able to do more than what you think you would be able to do.
It gives people like a constraint,
right?
To work
with
it.
Put a hat and sort of act in a certain way.
Because when I read this article in Forbes, right, actually it just, to me, aside from the fact that I think it's still a fancy term for team problem solving,
it
does give you some rules in it for this whole team problem solving, right? You've got to document stuff, you've got to do it within a time frame, there must be, like you say, critic, observer, member. It's not bad practical advice if you need to solve a problem.
Yeah, and I think for me, the best rule here is that time frame. Because when I was doing... So I worked in teams before where we had micro timing. And we would say, okay, we have 5 minutes to finish this element of the problem. We have 5 minutes to generate as many ideas as possible. And when you do that, everyone kind of acknowledges that, politeness gets left by the wayside in favor of finishing the task within the time frame. So you actually are a lot more efficient as a result, because you trim out all of the excess fat, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, it adds a little bit sense of, it adds a sense of urgency in it.
And purpose.
And I appreciate that because, time is valuable, especially for us when, we try to balance things between work and home, and sometimes you just need to be with other people as well. And it's good that when people put time into consideration, they put it as high priority.
Okay, on a side note, sorry for being this skeptical, but do you notice the last few days we've had all this like breadcrumbing?
Yeah.
Collision? What was the one yesterday?
Leavism.
Who comes up with all these guys?
Don't know. Yeah. This obsession with meetings, isn't it?
No, and so much new terminology out there when it comes to the working world, right? I can't even keep up.
I don't know. I just appreciate the creativity. And I like having specific words to deal with certain things. I guess I was German in a past life. Well, do let us know what you think. Do you think collisions have a place in the workplace too? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We're coming up to the 6:30 news now, and here to take you there is Aeroplane by Red Hot Chili Peppers. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Beautiful Day by U2, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Sharit Abdullah and Wong Xiaoning. Now, if you wanted to fly business class but thought, it's kind of expensive, can't really afford it.
Kind of expensive.
And if you're only going, say, intercity, apparently the KTM is now introducing business class seats for its electric train service too, and this is going to start in October. So this is quite interesting. I took a look at the KTM Facebook page, and they've got a video up showcasing the new business class seats. And they look kind of like something you'd find on a plane, as opposed to the normal ETS, which is, it's a pretty standard train, two seats next to each other, slightly cramped, not a lot of space to move around. These ones, do fancy things like flip around. There's a little video screen that you can flip up onto watch movies. Yeah, what did you guys think of it?
I like it. I like the idea that we are providing a more luxurious options, because we're not just talking, again, all this boils down to, for example, tourism. Mm-hmm. We have people from abroad who comes here. And I mean, if you, for an example, if you look at the train situation in Europe, they are quite fancy, right? I mean, they're quite used to, mm-hmm. I guess, different options of categories of seats. And I think it's they're ready to pay. And I think when they want to go and visit Malaysia, it'd be good to have something as nice as this. And again, it's good revenue for KTM in some ways.
Yes, KTM badly right. needs it, because, you know, it's loss-making. As you know, I'm miss numbers here. So since it's been corporatized in 1992, they've lost 3 billion ringgit, guys.
Yeah, but it's the same for all sort of...
Why? No, we shouldn't just accept it. You know?
Okay,
our airline's loss-making. So it's okay for our trains to be loss-making. That doesn't make any sense, right? We should do things to kind of improve the financial performance of all these transportation systems. We can't continue to have losses year after year. Mm.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm just glad that somebody's really looking at how to improve the service and maybe just increase the number of passengers.
Yeah.
But for me, you know, okay, so all this is all well and good, right? I looked at it and I thought, okay, pretty fancy. I would probably try this. But then this doesn't solve the problem of punctuality. Which is the big problem when it comes to most of our train services. Because I've taken the ETS to Ipoh before.
Mm. And was it late?
It was an hour late.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a completely different experience that I had.
Yeah.
But okay.
So
that's,
I guess inconsistency.
Inconsistency is an issue.
Yeah, it should be like Japan, right?
Yeah.
You know, come exactly on time.
If it leaves 45 seconds early, the train operator apologizes.
Yeah. Do you know in Japan, if your train is late, they give you a little letter from the train company to apologize so that you can give it to your bosses to explain why you are late at work.
Yeah. And this is becoming really important, isn't it? Punctuality, especially now that people are more open to commute to work. I think Ipoh is just 2 hours away. I don't think it's a bad option to consider living in Ipoh and work in KL.
Every day.
Well, yeah. But I wouldn't mind adding...
It's a two-hour commute.
I've traveled 3 hours a day. But again, you know, well, look... properties are getting expensive, right, in Kuala Lumpur. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes it's just a matter... And look, if you've been to Ipoh, I'm a big fan of that place. It's a valley and it's beautiful. And why not, you know?
It will cost you quite a lot of money. I'm doing the mental maths, right? Because the promotional tickets are 50 ringgit.
Okay,
so
yeah.
Times 20, it's you know, and then times 2 because it's only one way, right?
I'm sure there's a monthly pass, just like you're just like ERL.
And that's not factoring in the time cost that you spend commuting in. It'll be like a 4 hours plus a day.
Well, living in a valley has a cost.
Yeah. But I would think that KTM needs to do more. So one thing is to, like, you know, consider this business class to kind of encourage more people to use the train. The other thing I have about our train system in Malaysia is the sheer poor connectivity. If, let's say, you're going to Bangkok, for example. Mm. I've always wanted to take the train to Bangkok. But do you know it's a pain?
But you can.
You can, but you have to take the train to Kayu Hitam, is that? And then
Bukit Kayu Hitam, yeah.
Yeah, then you change to another train. There's no connectivity. It's not like in Europe where it's almost like seamless train travel. So we need to move towards that to actually perhaps make KTM profitable one day.
All right, well, do let us know what you think. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a few messages coming up for you now, and then we'll be taking a look at what's been said in the papers. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Live and Let Die by Guns N' Roses, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Sharitz and Shanning. Now, thank you very much for your tweets and WhatsApps this morning. We've had a couple of social media messages. Stephen Chelia says, good morning, guys. I'll still buy normal class seats on the ETS. It's comfortable. Leave the business class seats to foreigners or executives who need privacy. But punctuality continues to plague the KTM.
Yes. Yeah.
Paul echoes the same thing. He asks, why is KTM so slow and that there are often delays? And why does management take so long to rectify the problems when there is one?
Yeah, it's a head scratcher, isn't it? I mean, when it comes to time and punctuality, buses, public transportation, just in general, I don't know why is it difficult you know, it comes to the science of being on time.
It's I feel like it is attitude a little bit, because that time when I was on the ETS to Ipoh, we were already all on the train, but the train didn't leave for an hour. It was sitting in the station for an hour. And when we asked the station attendants, you know, hey, why aren't we moving? Say, oh, yeah, no, this train's still not really full. And we're like, why?
There's no passion, isn't it?
I mean, this is not a bus mini. You do not need to fill it up for it to move, right?
Yeah, exactly. Just a bit of, I find it's just a matter of passion about transportation, just moving,
so
being
the point
passionate
is
about time.
You can, you know, that's the typical thing about Malaysia. Sorry, I shouldn't generalize. We can have first-class hardware, but second-class attitude when it comes to punctuality.
Yeah, and it's to be fair, in that instance, my instance, it's also not really the fault of the KTM staff, because it is passengers who bought tickets and didn't bother to turn up on time.
But just too bad, the train has to go.
Exactly. So, you know,
just leave the station.
That's right.
I don't understand why you're waiting for passengers to turn up. If they don't turn up, they don't turn up. Thanks for your money that you paid already. Great, you know. Adds to the coffers. If you don't come, just too bad.
Exactly.
Yep, I agree, Xiao Ning.
And well, eventually, you know, you think that, okay, maybe if they've been left behind once or twice, they'll actually bother to come on time to catch their train. Well, Michael says, in regards to the KTM, business class will be good as it takes 5 hours from KL Central to Butterworth. Hope it serves food and drinks.
Yeah, for 50 ringgit. Because I do know that you do have to pay if you were to take the normal
But there's just
ticket.
A promo rate, right? It's to suck you in and then later the price will go up.
Oh, wow.
We are not all cynical, Shanning. Maybe we will evolve in that time. But also, this morning, let's take a look at what's been said in the newspapers. The Star has gone with the very ominous headline, Into the Danger Zone. And they've got two pictures here on the front page, Alostar and Kuala Lumpur, just to illustrate the difference between Alostar's crystal clear blue skies and our nearly invisible city, completely obscured by the haze.
Well, take that business class electric train to Ipoh, make your way up to Alostar, and you can enjoy some fresh air.
That's right. That's a good promo. at the same time, New Straits Time is on fire, basically. That's basically what it looks like at the front page. This is, again, with regards to the haze. No action has been taken against anyone. That's what it's all about. These are words from NGOs, despite all the fires that's happening. Not much has been done, especially in Indonesia. So, yeah, that's New Straits Time on the front page.
Well, the Malaysian Reserve has gone with Malaysia to create two aerospace institutions in the next decade. This is ongoing, right? Because we have like Airbus. Yep. They've had the MRO headquarters for Southeast Asia. And it's something that the CEO, the country head Raymond Lim, did tell me during the Breakfast Grill, which you can listen to on Spotify and the BFM app. It's definitely going to be a big FDI thing for Malaysia.
Absolutely.
Mean, it makes a lot of sense because we have the biggest low-cost carrier in the region.
Yeah. But at the same time, don't forget, we do have to compete with our neighbour down south, who also has a MRO facility as well. Schools are being closed. That's on New Straits Time as well. And also on some, with regards to education, we have the former Minister of Bhutan, former Bhutan Education Minister, who is speaking with regards to what it means, what it means to have good education, especially if, as you know, Bhutan has a gross happiness index in this, as a measure of, you know, how well the country is doing rather than GDP.
Oh, that's quite interesting. So how do they measure happiness?
I think they just, I don't know, just tick if you're happy. As you pass along.
Are you happy? Tick yes, no, tick no. Okay. Yeah, so on the second page of the Star also, we've got Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad in the paper with his answer to racial politics, as well as his comments on Zakir Naik. And these were, of course, said on the Breakfast Grill yesterday. So if you want to listen to that full conversation with Kusu Chuang, you can also find that on the BFM app and on Spotify. But right now we are heading into the 7 o'clock news, and after that the business end of the morning run. So here to take you into the news is When I Come Around by Green Day, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.